We're talking with Patricia Eltinge about dream analysis. Patricia Eltinge has written a book called The Dream Class, which sort of breaks it down and teaches you how to interpret your own dreams. But in the meantime, we're going to open up the phone lines and hear about your crazy, indecipherable dreams and see what Patricia has to say about them, what they might mean. We'll be right back and get to as many of your calls as we can. Welcome back. A lot of stuff goes on while we are sleeping. A couple of our listeners have written in during the break. Bob had written about Stravinsky dreaming the Rite of Spring, which sort of revolutionized 20th century music. And Jerry had written saying Salvador Dali used to go to sleep with a blank canvas at the bottom of his bed, and then he'd wake up in the morning and start painting. And some other folks wrote about the Einstein and Tesla having these lucid dreams while they're technically awake, but they're sort of thought experiments. So, Patricia, I guess we can do a lot of stuff while we're dreaming and sleeping, and that people don't realize.
We are at work. When we are sleeping, our unconscious mind is really working for us, and it really wants the best for us. It wants us to have the best outcome of our relationships, our wants and desires, to work out our thoughts and feelings, and it's all there. We just need to tap into it.
Well, you are a dream analyst, a dream reader of sorts. Let's see what kind of dreams our listeners are having. First-time caller George in Mineral Springs, North Carolina. Hi, George. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello, George.
Howdy, George. How are you?
Okay. Gosh, what's the dream?
Well, I kept having reoccurring dreams of where I'm traveling with a group of guys. Like we're in a band. I played in the band for years, but I don't know. But every time we have some kind of vehicle problem, and we're stuck in a small town, and there's always like a town festival going on, and people are always, you know, walking around happy and excited, and there's nothing evil or terrible about the dreams, but I've had this recurring dream, I know, probably 8, 9, 10 times.
So there's always some kind of a problem during the trip.
Yeah, we must be riding in a Chevrolet. That's the only thing I know.
Okay. So vehicles in our dreams represent our way through life. So when vehicles are breaking down, something is getting in our way of our way through life. It's impeded our way through life, and your feelings about it. So the guys represent your feelings. This is back to the Jungian paradox, meaning the men in the dreams are representing your feelings. So what type of feelings do these men represent to you? If you were going to describe them as what are their character types, these guys you're traveling with?
That's the strangest thing. I don't really know them. I'm with them, but I don't know who they are. And,
what are they like? You don't have to know who they are, but what are they like in the dream? What type of people are they?
Just average guys. Just normal average guys.
No personality types. They're not mean, or they're not happy. Are they happy? Are they sad?
Yeah, they seem to be happy. Some are frustrated because the vehicle's breaking down.
Frustration. Okay, so these are feelings of frustration. Now we get, see, this is how it works. I decipher for you that these are feelings of frustration about your way through life. So there's something that is frustrating you about your way through life.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm slowly dying from congestive heart failure. So, you know, it has disabled me since 2006. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting worse and worse. And now there's nothing else they can do.
So this is your feelings are coming up in your dreams about your frustration of that. And this is what we contemplate on after we know what our dreams are trying to tell us. You go, okay, what can I, then in your waking life, once you know that you have these feelings that are manifesting in your dream life about your frustration, then you could say, well, what can I do about this frustration? Is there anything I can do about it to help alleviate at least my frustration? You know the cause of it, you're telling me. So then you can work on deciding to maybe do some meditation or look for other means to at least help with your frustration, the feelings of frustration.
Okay. George, thank you for the call, and you hang in there. We're glad you're part of our audience. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
We're going to go east of the Rockies, Ellen in New Jersey. Hi, Ellen.
First of all, thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening to Coast to Coast for at least 2 years, and this is the first time my call has been taken. Maybe that's an omen, because I believe very strong in omens. Anyway, as I was explained to your call screener, I lost my parents 27 years ago, not together. In fact, Wednesday will be 27 years. I lost my mom and I lost my dad 2 months later, almost to the day. The reason I'm calling, I have recurring dreams involving my mother, in which she reprimands me for something I've done during her lifetime or more recently since she's passed. Now, just for an example, several years ago, I had our house painted, and one of our neighbors was doing his roofing. It was the son of the neighbor. And instead of putting down some kind of a protection, all this junk from the roof went onto the side of our house.
This is in the dream or in real life this happened?
No, this is real life. But the dream is that a friend of mine came over and advised me to take them to court, which I didn't. Several days later, my mother appeared in the dream and reprimanded me for not taking them to the court.
Okay.
And I've had similar dreams about, as I said, things I've done while she was still alive and things that I have done since she passed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, when it comes to my father, I've had very few dreams about him. And when I get up the next morning, I can't seem to remember them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ones involving your father represent your feelings. The ones about your mother represent your head, what the noise in your head is telling you, or what your script, your shoulds are telling you to, you should do this or you should do that, and you are hard on yourself, and your intuition, which is the masculine represented by your mother, is saying you should have done this or you should have done that. So when it's a mother in a dream, you're really talking about your old scripts and old messages that were, or tapes that were given to you when you were young on how you should behave. Now, in your waking life, you can decide how you want to handle old ways of being taught.
Why wouldn't I be able to remember the dreams I've had of my father?
Those represent your feelings. You can switch in your Lyman state, which I talked about earlier. Say, I want to remember dreams, and now that we involve my father. If my father comes into my dreams, I want to remember it. And that's going to be really in touch with your feelings, some feeling-centeredness. So you're afraid
that
of some
feeling.
Help
me remember the dreams about him?
They aren't about him. No, they're about all the things are in your dreams are about you, aspects of yourself. They would be representing an aspect of yourself, which would be old feelings.
Thank you, Ellen. Appreciate it. I hope you got something out of that. We're going to go west of the Rockies, Brad in Oregon. Hi, Brad.
Yeah, I just had a quick question and what it might mean. I've had the same deal happen over hundreds of times since I was 10 years old. I'm in my 40s. And if I'm tired of a dream or if I'm having a bad dream or I just know I need to get up and do something, I'll just picture a cliff or something, just jump off of it because I know I'll wake up before I hit the bottom. I just wonder what that happens.
Okay, that's one way to handle it. Good view. Anyway.
So that's useful. That's useful.
Very useful tool. That's just, you don't want to deal with that particular dream, or it's boring to you, or there's some aspect of it you don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's a bad dream, or I know I need to go up, get up and do something, you know, outside or in the yard, go to work. So I went out of the dream. So I picture a building or mainly a canyon. I just jump off and then I'll wake up.
Okay. Well, what I will encourage you to do is let the dream unfold. It's not going to be that long anyway. You'll get up and get to work on time.
It seems like eternity when you're in a dream. But yeah.
Yes, it does. It can seem like an eternity, but I help people to be patient and watch the movie. Just look at it like a movie or a TV show and watch it unfold, because our dreams are really important. They're trying to give us, they wish us well, and they're trying to bring us messages from another side that can help us and empower us.
Brad, thank you for the call. We're going to go to my friend Barry in South Carolina on the wild card line. Hey, Barry, you got to have some interesting dreams, I'm sure.
What do you say, George, old buddy, old pal? I've got a real funny naked dream for you and Patricia, and help me figure it out.
Okay.
In the dream, George, I am at Myrtle Beach with a group of 20 or 30 friends. And we're just hooping it up, having fun with our bathing suits, getting a suntan, eating fried chicken and ham sandwiches, and drinking beer. So I decided to go swimming.
Males and females at this shindig?
Oh, yes. There's a mixed crowd. And then there's 2,000 or 3,000 people on Myrtle Beach of families with kids and stuff. And I don't know them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I go swimming. And then I come walking out of the water, and I'm walking toward the crowd. And everybody starts laughing and pointing, and the mothers are hiding the kids' eyes. And I realize all of a sudden I'm naked. And I panic, of course, and try to cover up my middle. And then it doesn't take but 2 or 3 seconds. I realize, oh, gosh, this is no big deal. So I turn around backwards and start walking butt first up towards the crowd. And here comes my wife with a towel and wraps it around me. And everything's fine. Everybody goes back to normal, having fun.
Okay. Well, I love it when people have dreams where they're exposed, because that's really showing you, like I said earlier, about feeling comfortable in your own skin, although you felt a little embarrassed in this dream for a moment, but not really, because you allowed it to happen in your dream. It happened. And there were other aspects, other people, which means your thoughts and feelings. You have your own thoughts and feelings about exposing yourself, so to speak, but it's not about really exposing yourself in that way. It's about exposing who you are. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I encourage people to be comfortable to expose who they are in real life. So I love hearing dreams of exposure.
Barry, it sounds like you're far more well-adjusted than I would have anticipated. I'm just kidding. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it, Barry. We'll take Huck in Louisiana. Hi, Huck.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
A little background. August 1st, I was almost dead with MRSA and MSSA.
Wait, I can't hear.
You got to put the phone to your mouth there, Huck. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
August 1st, I was almost dead with MRSA and MSSA. Spent 16 days in the hospital, a week back at the house, another week back at the hospital, and then 2.5 weeks back at the house. The second stint back at the house, I had a friend perform the first of 2 Reiki sessions dedicated to me. And that evening, that morning, because my sleep schedule was off, that morning I dreamt of a black-haired, beautiful Native American princess singing tones and beating on a ceremonial drum. As I was walking with her, we were surrounded by a circle of light, and I looked outside the circle, and we were surrounded by skeletons. She walked me to what in the dream was my home, and as I walked up the steps, she disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very, this happened while you were still recovering with the MRSA?
Yes, and I'm still recovering, but I was still on bed rest, still laid up on my back at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, She represents definitely a spirit guide, and this is a spirit guide for you to walk you through this traumatic experience, and the skeletons where you've had the fear of being close to death. This was potentially a near death circumstance, but the fact that you were in this sort of spiritual circle with going through a light, you knew your unconscious is telling you that you are making it through it.
The cool thing is that I did not know at the time that she was going to do the meditation. My wife knew, but I did not know. And after she did the meditation, she said she saw a doe, like a newborn fawn.
Mm-hmm.
And in her mind, she knew that I was going to be okay, but I was not aware of the meditation occurring.
I understand you weren't aware of the meditation occurring, but in your unconscious, knew you were making it because this ceremonial situation of going through the circle with the spirit guide, going away from the skeletons, the potential near death situation. So you knew it, and this is what I mean about having people get in touch with their sixth sense through the dream world, is we know more than we think we know.
Okay.
Well, Huck, we're glad you called in. We're glad you're on the mend, and thanks for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. Tell me this, Patricia. We've had a couple of our callers mention the fact that they have recurring dreams.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes over, I don't have recurring dreams, but if it comes back again and again, it's like almost like shouting at you, hey, pay attention to this.
Absolutely, George. This is something that is unresolved with you. So when people have unresolved issues, it's going to keep pounding on you until you figure it out, understand it, get somebody like me to help you decipher it and dissect it and know what it's trying to tell you.
We're going to go take to a break here in just about a minute. The book that you wrote, how long did it take you to write? I know it's based on a lot of years of experience, but.
Right. Well, I was teaching the workshops for many years with my mentor, Dr. Pat Allen, and actually went to work on it for about 5 years.
Well, it shows. It's great. It's a great read. It's very readable. It's very helpful, and I hope people will check it out. It's called The Dream Class. We're talking with Patricia Elting about her book, The Dream Class, and she's plowing through dreams of our callers here. The phone lines are almost full, but there's a couple of spots that are open. If you want to call, we'll get to as many of your dreams right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Our final segment with Patricia L. Tinge, author of The Dream Class. We go to the phones. Armando in Whittier, California. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi, Armando. How you doing?
Will never tell me that. Yes, hi. I had a shared dream between myself and my grandma and my aunt. And this dream, it's kind of a nightmare.
Did you say a shared dream?
Yes, all three of us had it. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, my aunt, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And in this nightmare, there's essentially these men. They're blacked out. There's no color. You can't see your faces, and they're all around the house. They're trying to break in with axes, machetes, chainsaws, and it's the whole family: cousins, aunts, uncles, mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa, kids. We're all huddled inside the house, and some of us are holding the doors so they won't come in, and they're essentially poking us and cutting us with these weapons that they're trying to break in. And towards the end of the dream, it's pretty horrific. It's gruesome. I don't even think I can say it on the radio what happens to some of us in the dream.
Uh-huh.
But towards the end of the dream, there's like three men on horses. They're all blacked out too, and they're standing far, further away, standing next to a tree. And it, I kind of got the feeling that they were the ones in charge because, you know, they were sending the other men around us to break into the house to hurt us. And it's always been a weird dream. I've never had a dream like that before with people's faces blacked out, the whole body. Mm-hmm. And it was so violent. It was a violent dream. And then it was a shared dream. And the only way that I heard about it was I overheard my aunt speaking with my uncle. Mm-hmm. And at first, I'm not paying attention to them. And then she starts saying these things. And I turn and look, and I said, who had that dream? She says, I did. She's like, and your grandma. And then I tell her, and then so I stayed quiet, and they keep saying the same, repeating the same dream, even with the three men standing on, I mean, on horseback, standing by a tree. And I
tell you what, Armando, let's let Patricia take a whack at this so far.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Armando, yes, this dream is very unique. It sounds like an ancestral dream when this is something often when things like this happen, it means that something has been passed down to the family through the family heritage of a trauma that has been an ancestral trauma. And it has come through, and the reason why it's the hacking and slashing aspect of it is that you're all ready to release it and be done with it. And when you explain that there was blood, and sounds like there was there death in the dream as well?
Yes, some of us did pass. Some of us lost limbs.
Right. Okay. Well, there's some aspects of this ancestral trauma, and it'd be interesting to look into it to see what type of goings on happened with your ancestors, that you can maybe finally have your family release the trauma of this ancestral trauma. It sounds like it was an ancestral trauma that has come through the family from history.
Armando, thank you for the call. You know, there's research that's been done about cellular memories that are passed on. I don't know that much about it, but I wonder if that's a factor in what's going on there.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Mark in Birmingham, Alabama. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Patricia. Hope you all are having a good night.
We are. What's on your mind?
Good to get through. Patricia, I've actually got two I want to talk about. One, y'all were talking about as I tuned in about falling. And just to get clear, to be clear on it, I haven't had this dream in a while, but I occasionally have the falling dream, and I'm not quite sure if I'm awake when I'm falling or if I'm sleeping and the falling awakens me. I was hoping you could shed some insight on the falling part again, because I missed most of what you had said, and then I'll get into the other, which is pretty quick as well.
Okay. Yeah. Does the falling dream something current? When did the falling dream happen?
It's happened on and off. I'm 57. Most of my life.
You said a word I was going to ask you.
Terrifying thing.
Yeah. Well, when men are reaching this phase of your life, they are transitioning from being more into their feelings. In your earlier part of your life, you were more in the yang part of your life and the intuitive masculine part of your life. And now you're transitioning and becoming a little more feeling-centered, which is the falling. This is this falling experience coming into your feeling-centeredness. And often men experience fear when that happens. They're not used to it being more feeling centered. So, next.
What do you think in particular? I don't ever fall to the ground. It's just
I
usually catch myself in the middle.
In real life, what it's doing is correlating in real life. You're starting to become more in touch with your feelings than you were in the first half of your life.
I'll tell you what, Mark, one dream per call. Thanks though, for calling in. We're going to go to Aaron in Illinois. Aaron, what's your dream?
George, Trisha, appreciate you taking my phone call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've got about 30 years in the fire service, firefighter practice career. Yeah, that's what I do for my day job, and then, you know, my off time, I volunteer. And my reoccurring dream is something that usually falls on the volunteer side of it all. And if
you're breaking up, I'm sorry.
It's that I'm responding to a fire call on the volunteer side of my career, and it's like everything is in slow motion. Like I'm running in mud. I'm fighting so hard to get to the fire station. I get there. I'm trying so hard to get to the call, and it usually ends there. But it just, I can't get anywhere. It's like I'm fighting so hard to walk or run.
It's a struggle. You're sensing a sense of struggle. So here's what I'm hearing, that there's something going on in your waking life that you feel like it's a struggle to get to where you're going. And where I would ask somebody, where is it you're trying to go in life that is a struggle for you? And then you contemplate on that question.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Aaron. We're going to go to Fred in Anaheim. Hi, Fred.
George, you've been one of my heroes for decades. Anyway, I'll get right to it. I saw a movie when I was a teenager, and it was Sidney Poitier, and he was trapped in a cave, and they were trying to get him out, and all of a sudden everything stopped. He eventually got out of the cave, and all the people were gone. I'm 69 years old. I've been having this dream since I was a teenager, and I have various friends that are in this world with me and no other people are around, but we can do what we want. It's very enjoyable. Run out of gas, I just grab another car, etc. I don't know what it means, but I keep having the dream over and it's very enjoyable. I wake up in a great mood.
In the dream, you mentioned a cave, but that was a movie. So in your dream, where are you?
I'm in the city. I'm not in the cave. The city, okay. And there's no people. There's just myself and four friends. And I get to pick the friends.
Are the friends male and female or just male?
No, they're both.
Males and females. Okay, so this is your both sides of your life, your yin and your yang, your male and your masculine and your feminine, your intuition and your instincts. And you're feeling good about it. You're feeling that you're self-reliant and no one's getting in your way. Those are all aspects of yourself. All the people in your dreams are other aspects of yourself. And everybody in the dream is pleasant. You get along with all the other four people in the dream.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's a very enjoyable dream.
Well, you're feeling a sense of confidence and self-reliance in this dream.
Sounds like you're in a good place, Fred.
Thank you,
Patricia. He mentioned about Sidney Poitier. You must have clients who share with you dreams about having celebrities. I'm wondering if there's significance to a particular celebrity that appears in a dream, and do we owe them royalties?
That's a good question, George. Well, celebrities are good to have as archetypes. So if you, let's say, take a James Bond, for instance, James Bond is an archetype of a hero, or you can take superheroes. Those would be represent aspects of ourselves represented by that type of person. So that's where it goes from there. Just always remember that whoever is in your dream represents an aspect of yourself.
We're going to Charlie in Tennessee on the wild card line. Hi, Charlie. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. Just a quick question about how can you possibly do higher mathematics in your dreams?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Are you a mathematician in real life, in waking life?
No, I'm working on my master's degree in chemistry, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can actually do. I have dreams where I'm actually solving these math problems in my dreams.
You're solving the math problem. Well, my mother was a mathematician. She taught analytical calculus to rocket scientists, so I can relate to this somewhat. And that's the extra sensory part of you that is gifted. And go with it.
I do. And
maybe
I wish I could take my dream and take it to the classroom And
what I say is you keep a pad or a recording device by your bed and don't open your eyes and jot symbols down and practice this on a daily basis. You will be surprised what you come up with.
Thanks, Charlie. Maybe you need to change your major too. But thanks for calling. Patricia, so we didn't really dwell on the advice you have for how people can retain their dreams. You've mentioned it sort of in passing. Part of it is to plant the idea that you want to have a dream and you want to remember it, and then have a pad or something like that or a recording device next to the bed, but don't wake yourself up too much.
There's only a 3 to 4 minute period where you can capture the images, and that's the Lyman state. And as soon as you open your eyes, you are out of the Lyman state. So we encourage to keep the eyes closed and write it down with your eyes closed, or record the images you see. And you can always tie the story together later. The story isn't really as important as the images involved. And that's the beginning of training yourself to become a dreamer and to remember your dreams and get in touch with your sixth sense that everyone possesses.
We're going to go to Chris in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hi, Chris.
And hi, Patricia. Thank you for taking my call. I had a very unusual dream 46 years ago. I was a young person. I'm 68 now. And in the dream, a very good friend of mine, a male friend, Pete, appeared to me at the foot of my bed and was talking to me. Even though I was in a dream state, I could still understand, you know, it was like he was real. And he talked to me, and he had a glow of light around him, and he was extremely happy and said that he understood everything now. And he said, I know, or he told me how much he loved me. He said, I understand how much you love me. And then the last thing he said was, no matter what happens, you have to go on because you are on the right path. And then he disappeared. And I woke up the next morning, and I remembered every detail of the dream. I had a sense of love that I had never felt in my life before that. And later in the afternoon, I started getting a really uneasy feeling, and I started crying, but I didn't know why. And I found out on the evening news that he had died the night before in a car accident. And it happened at the time that I had the dream.
This is what I'm talking, when I do talk about prophetic dreams, or I talk about premonition dreams, or dreams that are like, this has happened to me on occasion, and they are very, very rare, but this one reads true. And you did feel his spirit, I believe, and you were open for that in the dream state. And that's when we are open for these kind of things. And what time of night will you think this was happening, your dream? It often happens around 3 a.m.
I was going to say it was, in the hours after midnight. And that also corresponded with when he was killed. And it, at the time I was a young person in college, I struggled a lot to understand what it meant. I was very distressed by his death. And I ended up in the hospital myself near death about 3 weeks later. And I was,
because of the stress of this?
Yes. And I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And something inside of me felt like I wanted to die, and that I was willing myself to die to be with him. And I was in the hospital, and they were, you know, starting to treat me. And then they were going to teach me how to give myself insulin injections and all of this. And I'd always been a real natural person. I didn't want any medical intervention or anything. And part of me was like, this is unnatural. I want to just die because I'm supposed to die. And then I didn't see him, but the words of his message came back to me. And he said, no matter what happens, you have to go on because you're on the right path.
Yeah, those messages, I've had those messages where there's actual words and directives, and I teach people to take heed. Mm-hmm.
Chris, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, all your calls. I wish we had more time to get to more of them, other folks on the lines. Patricia Eltinge, thanks for helping us with this. I guess the main thing to remember is the basics are that all those dreams, all of the dreams, all the characters in those dreams, they're all about you. Doesn't mean you're a narcissist or egocentric. Mm-hmm. It's just that's the way it works.
That's the way it works. And that's how we move. We move on, and we can get ahead of the game in our life by really understanding what's going on back there.
Patricia Eltinge, thank you very much for being here. The Dream Class is the name of the book. Folks, if you're looking for ideas for Christmas gifts, that might be one, maybe a gift for yourself. Patricia, we'll have you back. Thanks.
Thank you, George.
All right. Thanks also to my earlier guests, Mike Cleland, his book, Hidden Experience, and Shannon Taggart, Seance. All of them good reading. Thanks to my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Michael Cosio and Donna Walker, our webmaster Lex Lonehood, Dan Galante, and Chris Boros. I'm George Knapp. I'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Good night, everyone.